guys, it's Eva. I'm here with a new episode of Currently Binging. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We are on everywhere you listen to your podcast. We are on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. So make sure you stay connected by subscribing, liking, and leaving a comment because I want to know what you guys think. So yeah, we're going to hop right into this. This episode, we are discussing Tomb Raider. Now, this is going to be one of those quickie discussions. I still haven't given this a name. I'm still working on that. But this is not going to be a super long discussion because I really don't have too much to say about Tomb Raider, but I did want to say a few things. So yeah, Tomb Raider, starring Alicia Vikander, and it was directed by Roar Utwang. I'm sure I messed that up. Apologies. If you're a first time listener, I am very bad with names. So yeah, Tomb Raider. So a little backstory. My history with Tomb Raider is not extensive. I did not play the video games. I think I've only played the video game once. And my first introduction to Tomb Raider were the Tomb Raider movies starring Angelina Jolie. And so, I mean, that's all I have as far as background on Tomb Raider. I think the first Tomb Raider came out 2001, and then the second one was a couple years after that. So we're talking between end of middle school, early high school for me when those Tomb Raider movies came out. So I was in a completely different mindset. I mean, they're not the greatest movies, but for what it was, I enjoyed it. It actually made me think of Angelina Jolie as kind of an action star, if you will. But even while I was watching this Tomb Raider, and it's been so long since I've seen those Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movies. It's been at least 10 years. I've seen them a couple of times, but I haven't seen them in a long time. And so while I was watching this one, in my head, I was like, for some reason, I remembered the Tomb Raider movies from then being a little bit more action-packed. And, you know, every movie for me does not have to have a ton of fight scenes and action because it just doesn't. But comparing that one to this one, I was like, I feel like she seemed a little more badass in the way of physically, whereas this one, I feel like they played up more of her smart side, which being smart is badass too. But yeah, because it felt more like a, not an exhibition, but a, what would you call it? Like a journey. Oh my gosh, I just saw this and I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of like what this film is. Adventure. It was more of like an adventure than it was an action-packed movie. There were some action scenes. You guys know I love a good action scene, but there weren't many that made me feel like, oh yes, like jump out of my seat kind of a thing. I mean, some of, as mundane as it may have been, some of the more memorable action-y-ish scenes were the bicycle scene towards the beginning when they are playing the fox race, whatever that game was, that part. And then when she showed up with her bow and arrow, I was like, okay, are we about to get some butt kicking here? But there was a little bit, but I mean, that was as far as from her end, that was about as much as we got from her. And I found that interesting, especially since one of the beginning scenes was her at a boxing ring. So we know she's been training to fight, but we didn't really see a lot of fighting from her end. So, I mean, that was one thing. But yeah, I feel like I just jumped headfirst into the action part of it. As far as an overall movie, this is kind of hard for me. It's not hard for me. I guess I would say this sits at one of those movies where I didn't hate it, but it also wasn't a movie that blew me away. It was kind of in the middle. And I say that because this didn't really seem like a new story, if you will. Not even thinking of the Tomb Raider franchise, because I'm not sure. Doing a little bit of reading, it sounds like after the Angelina Jolie era, they rebooted the video game and made her a little more realer and slimmer and not so much sexualized, which Alicia Vikander fits that persona. But I think for me, the story was predictable. And predictable in a way that every decision she made really frustrated me. I don't know why, because I was sitting in the movie, I was like, this is, why are you doing this? If my father disappeared, and I mean, okay, the whole premise, her father disappeared 7 years ago, they don't really know what happened to him, so they need to declare him dead in order for her, for all of his assets and everything in his name not to be sold off. And so she needs to claim it and say that he's dead, which she doesn't. She's kind of a rebel in the way that she doesn't want to take on this privileged life that's been bestowed upon her thanks to her father, and she kind of wants to make her own way. And then we have the which also was a little bit of part of my frustration, because some of the characters that we got in this, I guess I wanted to know a little bit more of what that actual relationship was, because we had, I believe her name was Anna, and I don't know, was she an aunt? I'm assuming she was an aunt, but she seemed shady from the beginning, so I wasn't really clear on who she was or what her relationship was with Lara, and then the whole her father disappearing. And I was like, for a while I was confused on how old she was, because they kept showing us flashbacks of when she was a little girl, and they said it's been 7 years. I'm like, what is she? I was like, okay, this little girl looks like she could be what, 8, 9? So are we saying she's like between 19 and 21? Like, I don't buy that. And then we see a shot of her a little bit older. So I'm like, okay, maybe this girl is 16. I don't know why I got caught up on the age thing, but that threw me off. And then the story was just like so basic. And so we have this whole thing. Her father disappeared and she's about to sign the papers declaring him dead. And she gets these clues and she's like, oh, I need to follow the clues. Finds the tape where her father says, burn this, because if it lands in the wrong hands, all hell will break loose. But no, which I mean, if she burned it, then we wouldn't have a movie, which is duh. But it was still frustrating because it's like, oh no, I'm going to research this. Goes all the way to Hong Kong and finds the son of the guy who her father got a boat ride with and convinced him to take her on this trip, which he's saying is very dangerous. And I was just like, so whatever. I mean, if we don't have that, then this is just me being nitpicky, because I was just like frustrated with it. I also think it's kind of me, because you guys know I'm reading a certain amount of books every year, and this year so far the books have been very frustrating to the point where there have been characters who I just don't like in the book, so it's been a struggle. And I feel like that also kind of fed into my energy in watching this movie just a tiny bit. And so then we get to the island or wherever they're deserted, and it was just some of the decisions she made with the guy who killed. And then I had questions about that, because we had I think it was Matthias, that's how you say his name, Matthias, who claimed that he killed her father. But then when her father showed up later, which we all knew her father was going to show up, and we all knew her father was going to die, those were obvious things that were going to happen. That's what I say when the story was super predictable. Like, those were things I was expecting to happen. And I was expecting her to, you know, I mean, it's a movie, whatever. But for him to say that he killed her father and was confident in that and didn't have any reaction to make me or we in the audience feel any different. And then for her father to show up later in the movie and him to act surprised that he was alive. So I was confused on when he said he killed her father. What did he do exactly? Did he shoot him? Did he throw him off a cliff? Like, what did you do for you to be surprised that he was not dead? I was so confused. There was just little things in the story that just did not make sense. Anna, like the aunt or whoever she was, didn't make sense, especially when we tie it into the end, when we find out that this whole company that was giving the money to keep Matthias and his crew out there enslaving these people and trying to get to the coffin of the Death Queen or whatever. And even when we get into that tie-in, which we all know is a setup for what could potentially be a second movie in this rebooted franchise. And I'm like, so I'm confused. And she seemed, the aunt or whoever she is, Anna, seemed suspect from the beginning to me. So when we get to the end and it's like, she walks into the elevator with this little look or whatever, I was like, oh my gosh, this doesn't make sense. And then back to Laura, I mean, she's so smart, but then I feel like she missed obvious clues in this movie from people, because why is the aunt so hard in pushing her to sign these papers to not lose whatever her father asked or whatever? That to me should be suspect. There was just a lot of things in the actual story or the connection of, I think there were some things, I don't know if they shot it and it didn't make the final edit, but there were a few things that could have been dropped in that could have better tied the story together. So it made a little more sense. It probably would have still been as predictable, but it would have filled in some of those gaps, at least for me. I don't know. Was I the only one who felt this watching this movie? So yeah, some of my main frustrations were in the actual storyline and some of the things that happened. Not so much in the acting, because I mean, for what it was, it wasn't like that exciting of a movie, but I have seen reviews when they're like, oh, it was boring. I don't think it was boring. I just think it was like, it had a level. It was, I think had the story not been so predictable, then it probably would not have seemed as boring as it probably came off to some people. I don't think it was boring, but I feel like there could have been a little bit more oomph or something in the movie. And maybe I'm the only one who feels this way. So one of the things that the director did say was that he really wanted to root this movie in reality because, you know, Tomb Raider, one of the things I can remember from the Tomb Raider movies with Angelina Jolie was that there was weird mystical stuff going on in it. And this one, it didn't have any like magic mystical things happening. Like once you actually get down to it and they open up the coffin, like nothing, it was nothing that was magical that happened in this movie. It was all pretty much just a disease. But I mean, there were some moments where it was like, especially from her father, him really playing up like, oh, this whole mystical thing, this whole curse or whatever, he was playing up and, oh, we can't open this and that whole type of thing, I think kind of aided in it still kind of having a little bit of that. But when you get down to it, what was in the tomb or the casket or whatever you want to call it was a disease. And the fact that once they opened up the casket and Matthias saw what it did to people and he still was like, look, we're just going to take our finger and we're going to bring this back with us. I was like, excuse me? Like, it's a disease. If it gets out and it spreads, everyone is going to die. Not just a few people, but everyone. I don't know. Maybe that's just my thinking. So the fact that pretty much Laura was the only one who escaped from the tomb, I was okay with, because everyone in there needed to die because it was just ridiculous. But yeah, so I mean, that's really all I have to say about this. I did not see this opening weekend. I did see that it just recently passed the $200 million mark, which, I mean, gives it good odds for it to possibly get a sequel, because they really set this up heavily for a sequel and a follow-up. And if they were to have a follow-up, I would hope that we get a little bit more character development. I mean, it is about Lara Croft, but even her, I feel like, yeah, she's smart, and yeah, she doesn't, like, she wants to rebel against her privileged lifestyle, but I feel like I still don't really know who she is. I kind of felt like she was just going through the motions. So if they do have a second movie, or if they do have a sequel, then I hope that we get a little more character development and we're able to build a better story, especially since I'm sure it's going to include more of Anna. And I have lots of questions about her because she was just sprinkled in, and I feel like they didn't do her enough justice for me to believe that she's going to be what it seems like she's being set up as, to be the villain in the sequel. So to me, from this movie, I'm not buying that she's going to be a good villain, because I have no idea really who she is. So all of that to say that I just saw that the other day it surpassed the $200 million mark. So the production costs are $94 million. A good chunk of the movie's proceeds have come from overseas. So of that $200 million, $170 million came from overseas. Or no, yeah. Yeah, and it's at about $211 million worldwide. So because of that, I believe I read that they were expecting it to do better overseas anyway. So because of that, I would not be surprised if we got a sequel. But hopefully, if anyone involved in the sequel hears this, they take some of those notes for the follow-up to this Tomb Raider. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't the best. And honestly, going into this, I can't remember if I said this in a previous episode when I was talking about some of the movies I was going to discuss coming up. But even when I saw the previews, I wasn't really like, oh my gosh, I have to go see this. It was more of a, oh, I remember when Angelina Jolie did this. Do we really need to do it again? I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch it. We'll see. And then I actually did end up going to see it. But I say all of that to say, even though this may not have seemed like I enjoyed the movie that much, I say all this to say that I do think that we do need those strong female lead characters in movies, and not just like the fighting kick ass type of women who we're starting to see come up in our superhero movies, because, you know, they've been playing kind of a sideline type of a role, and now they're starting to come to the forefront. But I also believe, just in general, not just in fighting, but also being smart, because being smart is cool. Being ambitious and being thorough and all that stuff that adds up to being a phenomenal woman. I do think that we need to see more of those types of characters in lead roles in movies. So yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that, because then I can go off on a whole totally different tangent, and this is supposed to be a quickie discussion. So I'm going to give you guys my grade. I am giving this a B-. So yeah, that's all I have on Tomb Raider. And honestly, looking at the movies for this year compared to last year, I think we are in a better state. I mean, it's still early, but it seems like we are. Compared to last year, this year so far, I've given out 2 A's, and we're only in March, and that's rare for me, especially when we're talking about the January through March movies. They're usually kind of lower, and you guys know I'm very strict about my A's. So I think and it seems like for everything that's coming out this year, it's going to be a good lineup. I was looking at what's coming up. I still need to do A Wrinkle in Time. You guys, time itself essentially is like slipping away from me. And so that's why I'm like, I'm just doing it one movie at a time. April, I don't really have a lot on there. Actually, I didn't have anything for April until Avengers, moved up their premiere date to April 27th. So that's the only movie on my schedule right now for April. But next I'm going to see A Wrinkle in Time. I know I had mentioned that I was still on the fence about seeing Ready Player One. And even with, it's kind of how I felt about the one movie about that came out last year and it had Cara Delevingne in it and Dale DeHaan in it. Oh my gosh, what is that movie called? Thank you, Internet. Valerian. This is Ready Player One. And Valerian came out around the same time of year last year as well. Ready Player One is giving me the same type of feelings as Valerian, where I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to see that. And then they started having all these quotes in there like, the most stunning looking movie, blah, blah, blah. But then it was so fast, you couldn't really see where the sources were. And then when it actually came out, it got plummeted in ratings. I actually did watch Valerian and it wasn't that bad of a movie. I actually enjoyed it. I watched it at home. So it was whatever. But I'm kind of getting those types of feels with Ready Player One. Cause I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this. But then it's like, it also kind of looks cool. And I'm like, I don't know. So I don't know. I could possibly go watch it. And if I do, then I'll discuss it here. But as of now, for April, well, that's still March. But for April, I still only have Avengers Infinity War. And I've also, this is the end of this whole episode. So, you know, I can go off and do a little bit of housekeeping, if you will, for Avengers Infinity War. So I usually only go back and rewatch all of the movies in the MCU to prepare for the premiere of an Avengers movie. So the last time I did this was for Age of Ultron. And so I plan to do this for Infinity War. And since I'm doing this, because I just feel like I need to have just an episode where I can just mind dump everything before I see Infinity War, because otherwise my Infinity War episode is just going to be so long with everything that's on my brain. So I might potentially do a lead up episode or a lead up discussion to Infinity War. I'm still chewing on that because it honestly depends on how long it takes me to get through the movies. Because I also was thinking about doing, I guess they're doing special events at some theaters where you can watch, it's not all of the movies, I don't think, but I think it's 12 films and then you see Infinity War. But honestly, I don't think that I could do that because that's so long. That is so long. I don't know if I could do that. So I think I would enjoy it more if I just did a marathon at home in the comfort of my house. So depending on how I feel after and how long it takes me to do that, I might do a lead up episode to Infinity War, because you guys know I'm so excited about this. And I think if I do that mind dump discussion before Infinity War, then if the Infinity War discussion won't be as long as it could be. But yeah, that was a lot. That's all I have. If you haven't seen Tomb Raider, check it out. Let me know what you thought, because what you think could be completely different than what I thought, and that is totally fine. If you did see Tomb Raider, I want to know what you thought about it. Let me know if you agreed with anything I said or if you had any different thoughts while watching it. You guys can chat with me, as always, anywhere on social media at InHerGlam, InHerGlam. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode.